You are back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. At this hour, state and House leaders are holding a news conference to announce plans to go back into legislative session on Monday. Getting back to do the people's work will have a different feel. It is what Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono is experiencing in the nation's capital this week as the Senate is back in session. We talked to her this morning about her concerns as Hawaii begins to relax the COVID restrictions.
I think that first and foremost, we need to continue to recognize that this is a healthcare issue, first and foremost, because we can't reopen or ease up on restrictions unless people can go back to these activities safely. And so I'm glad that Hawaii has had 17 or 18 consecutive days of fewer than six new cases. And Hawaii is acknowledged as a place where we seem to have done a good job of staying home and observing the social distancing and other things. I think we've been really fortunate in that regard. But as we reopen, and you know the governor has declared that certain things can reopen, I know he's doing it with the people's safety in mind, and there's still going to need to observe social distancing, hand washing, and all of those things that we need to continue to do because this pandemic is far from over.
And state lawmakers are struggling with how to avoid layoffs and pay cuts for government workers. So I think they'll be tackling that next week. What are your thoughts on that?
This is one of the reasons, Catherine, that I and other Democrats in the Senate have called for COVID-4 that would include money for state and local governments to help them with their huge budget shortfalls. I know that Hawaii is facing a potential of something along the lines of a $1.6 billion budget shortfall, and so I think there will be all kinds of efforts to prevent cutting up programs that people rely on, furloughing, you know, people, and that's going to just add to all of the harm that's going to happen to people and their families. So everybody's looking for different ways to forestall that, but at the federal level, the thing we can do is to pass a COVID-4 that has a lot of support for state and local governments. Unfortunately, Mitch McConnell is not on that page as yet. In fact, he started off by saying that state and local governments would file for bankruptcy, which is one of the most irresponsible things that I have ever heard from someone who considers himself a national leader. It's one thing we need to do. And then COVID-4, I would like, as long as we have come back to the Senate, we should be doing oversight hearings on what's happening to the $3 trillion of taxpayer money that we put to help people. What is happening with that? We should have oversight hearings, not the kind of hearings that most of the, at least on the committees that I've set, I have hearings on. They're not exactly related to COVID, particularly a hearing we had yesterday in the Judiciary Committee for a circuit court nominee whose seat isn't even going to be up until available until September. And he is a very, very ideologically conservative, just the kind of judge that Trump continues to pack the courts with. So that is not the kind of hearing that I would like Congress to come back for.
Right. You want to focus on the COVID crisis.
COVID-4. Mm-hmm. Because we know that there's still a tremendous need out there. And I think the PPP program, as well as EIDL, that's another program for basically a short-term kind of loans to small businesses. Look at all the people who are on unemployment in Hawaii. One out of three Hawaii workers are on unemployment compensation. That's huge. We need to deal with all of that and, of course, the millions and millions of people who are unemployed across the country. So the need continues, and we should not be taking a pause, which is what Mitch McConnell and the president is saying. We should take a pause. And they say the people who can afford a pause in this pandemic are the ones who benefited from the $1.5 trillion in tax cuts that the Republicans gave to them. But all the people who are out of work, you know, everybody else, we can't have the small businesses who are going under. We can't afford to take a pause. They can't afford to take a pause.
You know, you talked about oversight, and I know there was concern that with the first rollout with the CARES Act that we didn't put in enough safeguards, and we were seeing, you know, large bailouts for companies when they should have gone to small businesses. And there was also concern that some of the checks were cut to people who had died. And, you know, I know there have been stories about how that money should be in the hands of families who really need it.
I agree, and this is why we need to do oversight, and which is also why when Mitch McConnell wanted to just give another $250 billion to PPP, no questions asked. We said, wait a minute. We know that in the first tranche, that the average loans are something over $200,000. And so these funds were not going to what you and I would consider small businesses. So that's why we really had to negotiate for COVID-3, for the $310 billion, setting aside $60 billion of it for community lenders. And so now the average loan under the national average loan out of the PPP sum is like $79,000 as opposed to $200,000. And in Hawaii, the average loan amount has been $54,000. So more of this money is getting to the small businesses. But we know that they're still suffering. There is a need for more support, and that's what we ought to be doing rather than having hearings on judges whose positions aren't even open until September.
There are concerns about the tourism industry and how we move forward. How can you help Hawaii move back into some normalcy when it comes to tourism?
Well, when it comes to tourism, so much of our tourists come from the mainland, and so until our country has a much better handle on this virus, and there should be a national testing program, there should be national tracking of supplies, all of that, none of which is happening, by the way, and this is why every state is left to their own devices and there's piecemeal approaches. This is a pandemic, and so we have continuously called on President Trump to fully implement the Defense Production Act so that there can be all these supplies. And, you know, you have the situation still of governors and local governments vying against each other for necessary supplies and equipment, and that should not be happening. So until we get the national, the virus much more under control through the development of a vaccine, for example, and other treatment methods that actually work, it's going to be hard for people on the mainland to start traveling. And so to the extent that Hawaii's tourism is a very large percentage of our tourists come from the mainland as well as other countries, we're going to need to deal with this healthcare crisis first before I think we can get the tourism industry back on track. At the same time, we will do everything we can that when tourism does come back, and it's not as though we can just turn on the light switch and everything's going to come back to normal in the tourism side. We do need to support the diversification of our economy, something that Hawaii has sought to do for a long, long time. And I think to the extent that we are moving forward with the energy self-sufficiency, creating more green jobs, alternative energy production and jobs, that is a good model. We're also going to need a lot more people with STEM backgrounds and education, science, technology, engineering, and math. The state of Hawaii will have thousands, once we get back to some level of normalcy, thousands of jobs in those high-tech areas that we will need to fill. And I hope that we can fill it with local people. We will also obviously need to expand our healthcare capacity. So I would like to provide support for people going to medical school, nursing, all of the healthcare professions we're going to need to strengthen. So those are some of the areas. And then the other thing is that this crisis has brought to the fore is the importance of food self-sufficiency. Hawaii imports so much of our food that this is a time for us to take stock of our ability to grow our own food. That means that we need to provide more support for local farmers through making land less expensive, making water available. There are things that we can do to very much support local farming. It's something that we can do in the next farm bill also at the federal level to provide a lot more support for what we call specialty crops, which is all we have in Hawaii.
This crisis has certainly put our vulnerabilities in the glaring light.
Very much so, and all the inequities throughout our system. And so the people who are suffering the most from this pandemic and who are dying the most are poor people and older people and the most vulnerable in our population. So the health disparities, the economic disparities, the racial disparities, all are coming to the fore. And let us hope that we don't just go back to the same old, same old. We need to address all of these glaring disparities, because not only because it's the right thing to do, a humanitarian thing to do, but we need to prepare for another pandemic.
That was part of a conversation we had this morning with Senator Mazie Hirono, who is in Washington, D.C., as the Senate is back in session tackling appointments to the federal bench. Hirono, who has previous health challenges with cancer, says she's taking precautions, taking her temperature daily, wearing a mask, limiting exposure to people, and washing her hands frequently.